You must no longer live as the Gentiles do. Put away the old self and put on the new self, created in holiness and righteousness of truth. These are the words that we hear today from St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, our second reading for today. St. Paul asking us now to live this life of conversion, this life of conversion that Jesus calls each and every single one of us to do. To set our focus on Him and allow that relationship that we have with our Lord to change us at our very core. To change us at the level of our souls. Today we're being asked to live a life of constant conversion. A life that always looks to the example of our Lord. And always strives to conform our life to His. Leaving behind us the life of sin. And striving for the life of holiness. The life of virtue. St. Paul today, he's asking us to conform our lives to the truth. The truth not being an idea, but rather a person. The person of Jesus Christ. And so St. Paul, he tells us to abandon who we were before, trying to conform our lives to Him. Back about a year ago, it was last summer, my first summer as a priest, I took a group from my parish to a Steubenville conference in Missouri. And after that conference, we decided to go on a float trip. I see a smile over there because I know someone was with me. And this float trip, I mean, it was like 5 hours. It was a really, really long time. And by luck of the draw, me growing up with two brothers, I was placed in a boat with 8 other girls. So that was truly a baptism of fire. You know, and in fairness to these girls, it was a long day. It was a long trip after a long weekend. But we're about 2 hours into this float trip, and I had a full mutiny on my hands. They looked at me, they said, "Father, we've had enough. Let's turn around and go back." And I looked at them, I go, you don't understand how rivers work. We don't turn around and go back. You see this current? This is taking us in a direction. They said, "But listen, let's just try it. Let's just try and turn around and go back. It'll be easier because we're not even halfway done yet." I told them, I said, no. Just... we'll get through this, we'll suffer together, we'll make it to the end. And it was funny because as I was explaining to them on this trip, this fact that listen, even though we're not halfway there yet, even though this hasn't been easy, even though at times this has been miserable, we have to continue on this journey. We have to continue on this path in which we have embarked. And it will ultimately be worth it. And you see, I say all of this because as patently absurd as that was, you know, those 8 girls asking us to turn around and go back up current, what we find in the first reading is essentially the exact same thing. We find the Israelites out in the desert on their way to the promised land, on their way to the land in which God had set aside from them, a land in which they had heard would be flowing with milk and honey, a land in which their desires would be met. They find themselves out in this desert, fleeing Egypt, fleeing a place of slavery. And what do we hear in the reading this morning? They want to go back. They hadn't even been out in the desert for a month yet. So they knew what they were running away from. They knew that what they were leaving behind was not fun and games. They knew it was slavery. It was something that was truly limiting them. They couldn't live a life of freedom in any way. And yet they tell Moses, they say, "Listen, at least when we were there, at least our bellies were fed. And now you bring us out here to die in the desert? To heck with this, let's turn around and go back." But Moses tells them, he says, no. Sure, this might be difficult now, but we need to continue on this path. We need to remember that what is ahead is significantly better than what we left behind. And you see, I think this is an image that we can all identify with. All all of us who are here in these pews this morning, because we're the same way, if we're honest. We know that God has set aside something for us that is greater. We know that God is calling us to something that is more. I mean, and frankly, we're just like the Israelites who are wandering around in the desert of this current life, hoping to make it to the promised land, to our true home in heaven. But rather than fixing our goal on heaven, we turn and we look back towards Egypt. We look back towards slavery. We look back towards the slavery of sin. Rather than focus on the thing that will truly satisfy us, the true desire that we have, we look back. We think that, you know, maybe, just maybe this sin of mine, and we all have a favorite sin. We all have a sin that we go to in times of distress, or a sin that we think this will bring us comfort. And that's no different than the Israelites looking back towards Egypt. Because you see, my friends, we all have a deep desire at the most inner part of our souls and our hearts. We have this desire to be fulfilled. We have this desire to have this perfect fulfillment. And rather than turning towards the thing that we know will fulfill us, we look backwards. We look back towards Egypt. We look back towards slavery. Rather than turning towards the food that truly sustain us, we go for junk food. We go for that junk food, for that sin, because it gives us this immediate comfort. But we know what comes after that. And that's that awful stomach ache. Which is exactly what sin does to us. We find ourselves with a gaping hole. A hole that's even larger than when we began, when we turned to that level of sin. You see, but Jesus, He gives us a solution to this problem. Jesus gives us the Eucharist. Right? There is one thing alone that can fill that infinite size hole in our hearts and our souls. That infinite desire, and that is the infinite God. Nothing in this finite world will finally satisfy that desire that makes us most essentially human beings. Because we have a longing for God. We have a longing for eternity. And nothing here in this finite world that we find ourselves in, this desert, nothing will finally fulfill that longing that we can only find in heaven, in the promised land. But Jesus tells us that He gives us food for the journey. That just as the Israelites received manna in the desert for their journey into the promised land, so too Jesus sustains us with the food that comes from this altar. And this isn't any ordinary food. It's not even manna that rained down from heaven. But no, this is the very body of Jesus Christ. His very body and blood. Or Jesus, He concludes the gospel today by saying, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to Me, they will not hunger. They will not thirst. My friends, it's here at this altar that we find the closest thing that we can to perfect fulfillment, to perfect satisfaction this side of heaven. Because it's here, in the greatest mystery that the church has to offer, that we receive the infinite God. That the infinite God humbles Himself to come here, to be present at this altar every single day and at every single altar throughout the entirety of the world. My friends, it's so easy for us as fallen, as sinful human beings to be like the Israelites, to look backwards, to want to go back to Egypt, to seek that fulfillment that we know is counterfeit. That we know that while maybe it satisfies a longing that we have right now, right in the here and now, all it's going to do is leave us more empty. It's only going to have us desiring God more. So my friends, today as we come here to this altar, as we come here to have our soul be nourished, let us remember those words of St. Paul. Let us no longer live as the Gentiles do. Because we must put away that old self. We must conform ourselves to the one who is truth. Because it's only Him, only Jesus Christ, who satisfies that true hunger.